Now we call this lesson number 24, and our subject is the Apostle Paul as one born out of due time. Did you ever read that about him in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? After he said that Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again, the gospel by which the believing sinner is saved with an everlasting salvation. He said he was raised from the dead and was seen by Peter. Then he was seen by 12 apostles. Then he was seen by 500 disciples at one time. After that, he was seen of James. Then again by all the apostles. Now notice, 1 Corinthians 15:8. Last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. You know, in the book of Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ?" Then he said, "The signs of an apostle were worked by me." It's very interesting to note that the Lord permitted Paul to duplicate every kind of miracle that Peter performed. Yes, Peter, first, you remember, spoke with tongues, and Paul spoke with tongues. Then Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb, so did Paul. Then Peter had a jail deliverance, so did Paul. Then Peter healed a man with incurable disease, so did Paul. Then Peter had a jail deliverance, and so did Paul. Then Peter raised one from the dead, so did Paul. And every miracle that Peter performed, God permitted him to duplicate it, because he knew there were going to be those who denied his apostleship and divine authority because he was one born out of due time. Now, it's very interesting to note this. This, in the Greek, born out of due time, does not mean that he was born after his time. He was born before his time, in a way. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you know how blind Israel is going to be saved. They're going to look on him whom they pierced. We're told that way back in Zechariah. And then we're told in Revelation 1, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. And all nations shall mourn because of him." Now they're going to be saved by the coming of the Lord, just up in the glory as he's coming. And there's where the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, saw Christ. Now remember this, Saul is the only unbeliever who on this earth saw the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. He was born as one out of due season, due time, and he gives us this testimony in 1 Timothy 1:11. He said, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." And now notice this, 1 Timothy 1:12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first, not chief. However, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." I want you to notice this, that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, "In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern." Then he says, Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. That word chief and the word first in the next verse are identically the same Greek word. And the Apostle Paul was the first one as a pattern to be saved as he was. He was not only a pattern for Christians, but he was a pattern of the way in which Israel is going to be saved when they look upon him whom they pierced. But he was also a pattern for Christians. Nobody else said what Paul said. Would you dare say it? Would any preacher dare say it today? follow me as I follow the Lord? Yes, in 1 Corinthians 11:1 to 2, we find there that Paul said, follow me. And in Philippians 3:17, he said, be followers together of me. Follow me. My, think of it. I wonder if you ever read 1 Corinthians 3:10, where Paul says that by the grace of God, according to the grace of God, he said, I have this ministry, and as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Let us therefore take heed how we build together thereupon. A wise master builder. Now that word master builder is architecton, which means an architect. You know, when this government gives a contract, they hold the architect responsible for what the contractor does. Now the Lord has had a number of foremen. God is a great builder. God has built many things. He had Noah build the ark. And before that, he had the Lord Jesus Christ fashion the and frame this world and make all of heaven and earth and all the things that therein are. Then he had Moses make an ark according to the pattern given in the Holy Mount. Then he had Solomon build a wonderful temple. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's going to build the tabernacle of David. And for every one of these buildings, God has a foreman. Now, a God today is building the church, which is his body. And you note this, that over or about half of the books of the New Testament scriptures, as we speak of them, were written by one man, the Apostle Paul. He calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. For the Gentiles, he calls himself the apostle of the Gentiles, the teacher and preacher of the Gentiles. And he says, I am the wise master builder, I'm the architecton. Now we're building together with God. Suppose you wanted to build what God, help God build what he's building today. And you'd go to the writings of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Peter or James or Jude. Would you know how to build intelligently? No. The blueprints and the specifications for what God is doing today were given by revelation from heaven to the Apostle Paul. If you go back and build with the carpenter of Nazareth, as some modernists speak of today, my dear friend, you'll find yourself, perhaps you won't know whether you're a Jew in the Holy Land or a member of the body of Christ seated in the heavenlies in Christ. But you'll not be building the body of Christ if you go back to the other side of Calvary. So many people say, give me the program of Jesus, and they go back under the law where the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they know so little about the gospel of the grace of God. Now remember, this one who was born out of due season is a pattern and an example. He is the wise master builder. He is God's foreman, God's architect, and if you want to build, you'll have to get the blueprints and specifications from the Apostle Paul if you want to build intelligently. He is the only one who ever spoke of the church, of the mystery, as the body of Christ, and told us in detail what the Lord is doing. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, he said, Christ ascended far above all heaven. And after he ascended, he gave gifts unto men for the work of the ministry, to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God is building a building today. It's a temple being fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's a building made up of human beings. Whenever you read of the church, the ecclesia, as it is in the Greek, it comes from the two words ek, out of, and kaleo, called out. God is not calling out inanimate building material. God is calling out men and women to come by faith to Calvary and be saved by faith and by grace. And the very moment you're saved, as you take your place as an ungodly sinner at the cross of Calvary and learn that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, the blood of Jesus Christ, God Son cleanses from all sin. Just that very moment, you're baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of His body. You're baptized into the death of Christ. You're buried by baptism. You're raised to walk in newness of life. You're risen and seated in the heavenlies, and there blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. You're in Christ, and Christ is in you. You're accepted in Christ. You're complete in Christ, without condemnation in Christ. All these wonderful things, according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord, and according to the riches of God's grace. Surely you'll agree with me that you'll never again, if you have, frustrate the grace of God. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Until our next broadcast, we say goodbye, and God richly bless you.